Amen. Good morning, City Well. I am Crystal, the pastor here, and it is good to see you all this morning. Thanks be to God. So we have been in the midst of a sermon series surrounding the fourth commandment. If you haven't known, and most of you have come back, so praise God, I haven't bored you. Amen. We have been engaged in talking about the fourth commandment, what it means to have Sabbath rest. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. We have been invited to engage in this Sabbath as a church from July 1st to September 1st. It is a time to worship, a time to trust in the Lord, to reflect, to allow the Lord, to allow the Holy Spirit to rejuvenate us, to give us renewal, because we know there will be more work ahead. Amen. Amen. Today is the last day of this three-part sermon series. So if it has been way too much for you, we have come to an end. It is finished. But we will still engage for our Sabbath rest from July 1st to September 1st. We have focused during this series on what it looks like when we remember what God has done, how we are to honor God, and that we do have something called commandments, something that we don't like to talk about in our United States independent culture, that we are to trust God even when we can't track God, even when we don't know what God is doing. Last week, I talked about what it means to have an ellipsis moment. I use ellipsis a lot, the three dots. Something has happened, take a pause, something is coming. We are in an ellipsis moment in the life of our church. How we are to attend to our spiritual, emotional, and spiritual, physical needs. To expect God to show up. That God will show up for us, and especially in ways we did not expect to see God. And that we are to be aware that more is coming, but that God shall, and God has, and God always will provide. His name is Jehovah Jireh. Today, and for me, one of the most important aspects of Sabbath. How do we honor and obey God? Yes, trust God, realign with God. How do we embrace rest and honor that pause? But it is the opportunity to acknowledge that we are creatures, fearfully and wonderfully made by a faithful Creator. And that has ripple effects for our community, for our world. It points to the liberating God who is always doing something in our midst, enacting justice and righteousness. The kingdom of God is near. The truth is that the kingdom of God is breaking in. So some of your eyes are already glossed over, but I ask for you to actually tune up your ears. Listen up, because this morning God has something to say to you, to you. Mark chapter 3, verse 23. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God where Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to them, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Spirit of the living God, you have something to say to your people. Where the truth is, you first had something to say to me. Allow me to speak only the words that you have given me, O Lord, for there is something that you are yet saying to your church. Let them have ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive how you are transforming us, beckoning us, O God of justice, who liberates all. In the name of the one who crossed every boundary to love us so well, let us love just like you did. In Jesus the Christ's name, and let the church say amen. Amen and amen. So I am not the best test taker. I have to be honest that I get a sense of anxiety when it's time for me to take a huge test. No wonder why I didn't do well on those LSATs. It is a horrible catch-22. The more I know a single test weighs on my final grade, the worse I seem to do. I have gotten better at reducing the anxiety around taking big tests, which has come from knowing myself, but also from some practical wisdom that I've learned along the way. Like, y'all probably knew this before, don't wait till the last minute to study. Amen? Don't wait until the night before to study. Study in small groups, and for me, that meant 3 to 4 people, because any more, it gets chaotic. Go to all the classes, or if you can't attend all the classes, at least listen to the lecture online. Read the materials, even if you do the good graduate skim. Read a little bit. But the last one was counterintuitive for me, not my natural inclination. Get a good night's sleep before you take a big test. In undergraduate school, I always wanted to stay up all night studying for the big test. I had seen that on all the, you know, coming into age movies. And so I thought that's what I was going to do when I got to undergraduate school. Huge midterms or finals, I would stay up all night studying, cramming, really, all the information that I did not know from the semester. But I have learned that this practice is actually counterproductive, because I would get to the test tired, cranky, and forget most of the information. Or I would remember all the stuff from the class that wasn't actually on the test. To say the least, it was frustrating. My undergraduate grades, first and second year, attest to this. I would sit in the test knowing I did not know the answers that the professor was quizzing me on, what he or she was asking. A lot of times I tried my best to make the stuff that I did remember from the class fit into the essay portion of the exam. So I did study, but it wasn't effective. What I learned later in my academic career was not to sweat it, to do the things like form study groups, 2, 3, 4 people, study along the way, a little bit at a time, make study guides that were color-coded, because I am a visual learner, and that would help me remember the material. But most importantly, get a full night's rest. Even if I didn't think I had studied everything, go to sleep. And somehow, it would be better. Get rest before your tests. In our passage today, Mark is reporting the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God has been busy getting baptized, having a wilderness experience, and calling to himself friends to do life and ministry with. He calls them and says, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Now, fishing for people is interesting, y'all. It's trying work, life-altering work, boundary-breaking work. There will be lots of tests. We see that the disciples are hungry in our passage today, so they start plucking heads of grain on the Sabbath. This is forbidden according to the Pharisees, the keepers and the interpreters of the law. They ask Jesus, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? During this time, there were many differing opinions and perspectives on what was and what was not lawful on the Sabbath. The fourth commandment is to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, observe it. But what constituted as work was really unclear. The Pharisees were engaged in this debate, not only with Jesus, but with each other, and they were beckoning Jesus to enter into this debate, into this conversation with them. And Jesus enters, but on his terms, on ethical terms, with an interpretive principle, and with a gracious, life-giving application. Because the disciples are hungry, and hunger is a human need, it is ethical to allow them to be fed even on the Sabbath. Sabbath, God's law, is made for humankind, not humankind or Sabbath in God's law. Our sister Karen Keene says it like this in her book, Scripture Ethics and the Possibility of Same-Sex Relationship. In other words, God's ordinances are always on behalf of people and not for the arbitrary appeasement of God's sensibilities. God made laws for us to love one another and take good care of one another, and that's what honors God. Jesus uses an example of what King David did, recorded in 1 Samuel, to show the interpretive principle that he was using. He was going to apply a law that they misunderstood. Hungry folks should be fed. That's the principle, y'all. Even on the Sabbath. A loving God who transgressed boundaries and laws is the one who feeds the hungry, heals the sick, sets at liberty those who are captive. And it's all right here, even up to the second chapter of Mark. Jesus exercised a man on the Sabbath. Jesus allowed his disciples to eat and pluck grain on the Sabbath. Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath. Because this is the thing. The Sabbath is for humans. The Lord of the Sabbath, Emmanuel, is with us, came as a reminder to the religious elite and to us today that Sabbath in the law is not just about following rules. It was never just about following rules. It was always about relationship with God and relationship with each other. So we can read a story like this, Christians in 2019, and think that Jesus was dismissing or breaking the Sabbath. What was happening is Jesus was showing the ethical application using this interpretive principle. Hungry folks need to be fed on the Sabbath. Sabbath is to serve humankind. We have the opposite issue than the Pharisees. They had these restrictive rules trying to follow the Sabbath to the T, but we have the opposite problem. We don't follow the Sabbath at all. We've thrown it out. It's no good to us, and we don't like too many rules. So we have decided that we will not practice Sabbath, but we fall victim still. The Pharisees were victim to their rules in making the everyday Jewish person a victim of stringent rules that they could not follow, but we fall victim as well. Maybe not to the rules that the Pharisees have, but to be slaves to the marketplace, allowing business and the need to produce to be our law and our guide. Laws. Ten Commandments that God gave for us to honor God and to be in relationship to one another have been used to keep everybody in line. The laws, first through third, are about how we are in relationship with God. But it's interesting if you look at the fourth. It's about relationship with God, honor God, but then it does this beautiful thing to transition into what it looks like to be in relationship with each other. Listen at how it pivots. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, or your son, or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your town. Let's put a note in that and come back to that. So that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. As well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched or healing arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath holy. We keep the Sabbath, but God made the Sabbath to keep us. It is keeping us because it allows us to rest and to see not only our needs, but the needs of those around us. Perhaps the way we can adequately and rightly tend to our neighbors is when we have communed with God, honored our fragility and our need for rest, and received the strength and the discernment of how to help our neighbor. In stories like this, I always want to be like Jesus. We got a whole bunch of songs and hashtags. What would Jesus do? Knowing the right thing to do, the right answer to the question. But too many times, I must admit, I'm like the Pharisees, more inclined to follow a legalistic notion of the law in Scripture and not get to the meaning behind it, the spirit behind it, the ethical application. What is it that Christ is teaching me, teaching us? Often on Saturdays, just for fun, an old political guy like myself will turn on the news, but not just the one I like. I will turn on MSNBC and CNN and Fox to see how folks are talking about the same thing. How did all of the different pundits feel about our vice president visiting the border? It's real interesting, y'all, because everybody got a different perspective. Yesterday, as I was preparing and I was thinking about that, me looking at all the different perspectives, before I got angry at some of them, I prayed. I prayed that the Lord would show me what it is and who it is that he is speaking to. I can, in my own strength, think about the ways I want to attack that situation and what justice looks like. But to pray and say, Lord, in the midst of all of the noise, what would you have me to do? To point to the ethical application of your law. We are enthralled in many debates in the life of the church universal. How do we treat the foreigners in our midst? How do we love siblings who love the same sex? How do we love at all? We're not very good at that at all. Jesus asked this question to the Pharisee, not to dismiss the Sabbath, not to put more restrictions on the Sabbath, but to make us all look at the essence and the spirit behind the law and even his very life. What is the practical application? Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill? I tell you this, when I have been tired, when I have not rested, and when life has exhausted me, as it often does, it's always hard for me to have the right answers to the test. Let us pray. Lord, you ask us questions that sometimes we think we know the answers to. In this time of rest, I pray that you would allow us to reflect on your life, reflect on our own lives, but to gain the courage and the boldness to be exactly who you have called us to be. We are resting so that we can get ready to go and do some things. And we thank you because you have already given your Holy Spirit that will lead us and guide us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. As I invite our musicians up, I want to read this passage of scripture that was guiding for me and is continuing to be a guide as I engage my own Sabbath. The words of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Our Lord beckons you, come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In the name of the one whose burden is light, amen. Amen and amen.